I am so excited to announce that How ADHD Affects Home Organization, the book, is now available on Amazon. It's available as a Kindle ebook, as a printed book, and as an Audible download. All three are available through the Amazon platform. That's How ADHD Affects Home Organization, Understanding the Role of the 8 Key Executive Functions of the Mind. I can't wait to hear what you think. Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. How in the world can it be June already? Like, this year has gone by faster than I can even imagine. Every time I look up, it seems like we're in a different month of the year. I don't know if you feel the same way, but that is always how I feel when at the beginning of June. And somewhere in July, I wonder if July will ever end. July just seems to be the longest month to me. So I just finished Manic May, and boy, was it a Manic May. I packed more into May than I think was humanly possible. And now here we arrive at the beginning of June. And if you have school-age children or children that still live at home, all of a sudden, they think like the next 10 weeks is just playtime. And maybe it is for you, but for the majority of us, it's not playtime. And as a matter of fact, we end up having even more work to do, at least more housework, because there are more people in the house. More laundry, more groceries, more driving, more fun, more laughter, later nights, less sleep. So let's talk specifically about the things that you might want to make sure you have organized going into June. The first thing, if you haven't done it, and if you go to a pool at all, is to stock a pool bag. Make sure you have enough fluffy towels for each of your family members. You might want to put an extra swimsuit or two in there. So if you have a spontaneous pool day, everyone already has swimsuits. Buy new sunscreen. I have tried in the past. I thought, oh, that's hogwash that sunscreen only lasts 1 year. The sunscreen people must have gotten together with the other people just to make me buy expensive lotion every year. And 1 year, oh, my poor daughter, I gave her sunscreen. It literally was 1 year old. It wasn't like 5 years old. It was only 1 year old. She lathered it on and totally got burned. And I'm pretty sure it's because the sunscreen was 1 year old. So while I like to use up what you have, when it comes to sunscreen, I'm going to suggest you actually break down and buy new sunscreen, which also, once I learned this little tidbit, I stopped stockpiling sunscreen. I used to be the person that would go and buy, you know, like 3 or 4 sunscreens at the beginning of the summer, thinking, well, if we didn't reuse them all, I would use them the next summer. Now that I know that doesn't happen, I just buy 1 or 2 bottles at the beginning of the year and then rebuy it as we need over the summer. Now that's also because I have teenagers. Joey doesn't go outside very much. Abby puts her own sunscreen on. She puts it in her pool bag and she's good to go. And I'm usually not out long enough to get sunburned because I'm always on the computer or doing something in the house. If when I had little kids, I would have gone through like 4 or 5 bottles of sunscreen in the summer. So just giving you that heads up about that. Now, another fun thing I like to do, especially if you go to a pool that has a snack bar, or maybe you go to a festival in the summer, or you might go to not a national baseball game, but you know, the local Little League games, all of those places where they have snack shacks or little ice cream bars, or maybe you stop by and you get ice cream one night at your local Whippy Dip. I love to have kids that are in grade school pay for it with dollars and change. So in my pool bag, I always had a bunch of loose change and a couple dollar bills. And then that way, when the kids wanted something at the pool for years, I would have them go up and figure out how much it was going to cost. Like, so they couldn't just walk up there with money and buy whatever they wanted. They had to go look at the menu, decide what they wanted, come back and say, I want to have this and this. I'd be like, great, how much is that? So then they would have to figure out what those two items together cost and then count out the change to go get those items at the pool. Yes, I was the math teacher. So anyway, those are some fun things to have in your pool bag. Two other ideas I have if your kids are younger. When I was little, my mom would give me a little bucket or even a Tupperware container and a paintbrush that she had around the house. Sometimes a little paintbrush, sometimes the big kind of paintbrush that you would paint the house. And she would have me fill my little bucket with water, and she would have me paint the concrete at the pool. And I'm telling you, I remember doing this with the kids I babysat for. It is so much fun to watch paint concrete turn wet and then dry again and keep painting it. I don't know why that is so fun for me, but it's very fun for me, and it's a very inexpensive thing to do. So if you have, you know, 2, 3, 4-year-olds coming to your house and you don't have a lot of toys and it's summer, just give them a Tupperware container and a paintbrush and put them out on your front porch and have them start painting. It's a very fun activity. And another thing I did is I went to a garage sale when the kids were like in kindergarten, and I got this big box of like those little plastic bugs and little plastic animals. And I bought the whole box, I think, for like $2. It was like maybe half a gallon Ziploc bag full of these little animals. And so my kids would play with those for hours at the pool. They would play with them outside of the pool, inside of the pool, in the baby pool, in the shallow end. They would dive for the ones that would sink. We would take that on our family trip to Florida. And when we were there, everyone would love to play with the little bugs, even people that weren't in our family. There weren't a lot of people at the place where we vacation. There are usually a handful of kids, and everybody would play with those. And that little $2 investment, we got about 10 years out of that. Okay, so those are some fun things to have in your stocked pool bag. Next thing I want you to do is clean out your car closet. You don't know what the car closet is? Okay, so years ago, I used to say this very often. I've gotten away from it recently as we've gone deeper on organizing some other areas, but I want you to think about the trunk or the tailgate area of your car as your car closet. That's really how it functions. That's where you put the groceries, but it's also, especially if you have children under the age of 12, that car closet gets a workout. And I suggest that you clean out your car closet as each of my New Year's happens. So right now we're switching from the first trimester of the year to the second trimester of the year for me. And so this is when you clear out school bags and dance recital stuff and soccer bags and all of the things that have been in the car that you've been keeping in the car so that you don't forget anything. Clear it out. It's June. Like, there are very, very, very few sports that go from May into June. So your trunk should be completely cleared out. You're able to vacuum it down, you know, wipe off the back of that seat, and then thoughtfully put things back into the tailgate and trunk area of your car, which I call your car closet. So I'm looking at the next 10 weeks when my kids are off school, which I consider my summer from June 1st until the middle of August is my summer. The things that I would put in the back of my car when my kids were a little bit younger is the pool bag. It would live in the back of my car. I would also put sweatshirts for each of the kids in case we were out and it got cooler when we were out. And if I didn't have it in the pool bag, I would include 2 swimsuits not in the pool bag. Because when your kids are little and you hang out at a friend's house and all of a sudden noon becomes 4 p.m. and now you're ordering pizza and the kids want to run through the sprinklers, if you have swimsuits and pool towels in the back of your car, you're up for anything. Like, you literally can leave the house in the morning with your kids and come home at night. And pretty much if you have a swimsuit and a towel, you're going to be fine once they're school age. This is also the time of year, if you haven't already, where you could put in those extra chairs that you have for sitting on the sidelines. Or again, you're over at a friend's house and all of a sudden stopping by to drop something off ends up in grilling out in the afternoon and hanging out back. You've got extra chairs if you need those. And that's where I usually would deck out our cooler. I would really, when my kids were in school, I would fill up that cooler with lots of snacks and treats and keep it in the back of the car. Sounds like I kind of was like traveling hillbilly. And maybe I was, but you know, I was stocked and ready to go. I was organized. Now, if you have any more pressing projects that need to get done around the house or in your business or with your kids, things that you just have to make sure happen, like you need to make a doctor's appointment this summer for your kids before they go back to school, I'm telling you to do it this week. Like, this week, you have to get it booked on the calendar or completed, because I think, you know what? I'm not going to have a lazy summer. I've got goals this summer. I'm going to tackle this house, blah, blah. Yes, no, you're not. The sun is going to zap your brain near the end of June, for sure in July. I don't know. I think July is kind of like the Bermuda Triangle of months. You don't know what happened in there. You don't know how you got in there. You can't really remember when you got back out. And July, oh, maybe I'll have a different thought of July this summer, but I've really come to realize that July is just a Bermuda Triangle of months. So if there's anything that you really do need to get done with your kids this summer, get it done in June, or anything personally that you want to get done, because anybody else you talk to, their brain is going to be in the Bermuda Triangle as well. Now, along that line of thought, this is the time of year where I go outside, I get a nice iced tea, I sit in the sun, and I get an empty legal pad, and I just dream. Like, if I could have 10 men show up to do things at this house, and they had 1 week, what would they do? Like, what are all of the things that I would want to get done and fixed in the house this summer? Because this is typically when I work on the things in the summer. Like, on my list right now would be, there's a piece of molding falling off the back of our house. I don't even know how that happens. That needs to be fixed. There are a couple of lights in the back of our house that don't even work anymore. They need to be replaced. The doors in our kitchen, the cabinet doors are off. Like, they need to be tightened up, but I've tried that and that's not working. So maybe we need to re-drill holes or something. Like, that needs to be done. All of those kind of projects. There's my husband replaced the light switch in our laundry room, but I don't have a cover that matches for it. So that, all those little nitpicky things that have been driving you crazy all year during what I call my two productive years, and now we're in the lazy summer part of my year. All those things go on a list for me. You know, remulch the beds, all that kind of stuff. And then I write that list and I tape it on the inside cabinet door by where my kitchen telephone used to be. So I don't have a kitchen telephone anymore, but my kitchen office is where the kitchen telephone used to be. Maybe you can relate. So inside that cabinet door, I tape that piece of paper up in there and then I don't even worry about it. It's not like these things go on my to-do list and when am I going to plot them out and how are they going to get done? We've needed new lights in the back of our house for 4 years. Like, it may not happen. I'm just telling you. But I will have days where I don't have work to do and the kids are off at camp or maybe they're home or everybody's kind of settled around and I'm a little bit bored and I'm like, I wonder what I could do. And I'll open up that cabinet door and I'll be like, oh, I could tighten up all of these cabinet doors today. And so I'll take an hour and I'll tighten up all those cabinet doors and I'll cross that off the list. I find this happens a lot, like on Saturday afternoons or Sunday afternoons. Everybody's kind of doing something in the family and I don't want to start a jigsaw puzzle or some big project, but I know I could knock something out on that list if I knew what was on that list. So that is how I do my master summer project list. And then finally, I know this is very kid-focused, this podcast, this time, but this is when you do focus on your kids' spaces. June, I think, is the best month to organize kids, which is why last year in June, every single podcast on Friday was actually directed at kids. So you can scroll back. Those are podcasts. They're in the early hundreds. They might like be 103 to 107, something like that, are the podcasts if you're in your podcast app. Or you can just go to the website, organize365.com/kids, and you'll find all of the podcasts that were recorded in June, and then I recorded a couple for boys last October and November. Those are there as well. So those would be great to listen to for the kids or as a family, and then help the kids start to get organized. Now, in addition to focusing on kids' spaces, summer is when I actually focus on what my goals are for my kids. It's actually when I do the majority of my parenting. This doesn't mean that I don't parent my kids in November. I mean, I do parent my kids year-round, but especially as they get older, you'll find that your parenting tends to be more concentrated in the summer. Back in podcast number 130, I shared more about my parenting and thoughts about how I parent differently in the three stages of my kids' lives: birth to 6 years old, 7 to 12, and now 13 plus. In our family, I pick a few key parenting goals and new skills that I want to teach my kids in the summer months. Their anxiety is at its lowest, and they have the most free time to absorb and learn new skills from me. I've mentioned before and elaborated about how I divide my year into three time segments in podcast number 134. And since I keep talking about these three planning periods in one calendar year, and I keep coming back to the same idea, I'm going to give them each a name. So there's my school year, the new year, and summer. My school year is planned in July and runs the end of August to December. This planning year is focused a lot on work and house maintenance. The new year is planned at the end of November and runs January 1st to the end of May. This planning year is also a heavy work-focused time for me, as well as a time of deep cleaning and purging. Then my third planning time is summer, which is planned in April and runs the 10 weeks my kids are off school from June to August. This planning year is when I focus the most on my kids, on my parenting, and on our house. The majority of our house projects and my parenting get done in the summer. So in these parenting stages, when your kids are little and they're still at home with you all day, you're parenting 24/7. It feels like it will never end. And then when they're school age, which is kindergarten through 6th to 8th grade, you are parenting all the time, but they're at school, so you can't parent when they're at school as much, but you do still parent on nights and weekends. And as the kids start to get older and they get into the 7th, 8th high school age, you don't do very much parenting, especially during the week. You tend to do more parenting on the weekend, and the majority of my parenting happens in the summer. So what do I mean by parenting? What I mean by parenting is, for me, I am very focused and purposeful about how I am raising my kids, what I'm teaching my kids, and how I'm equipping them to be independent adults. That's what I mean by parenting. I don't mean like making meals for them and disciplining them. I mean, what are the skills that they need to learn at this age that they will take forward into adulthood that will make them who they're going to become? So I can't remember what I've done in years past. I think last year on the podcast, you'll hear that I was talking about the same idea and I said they were going to learn to do their laundry. They did not, by the way. In June, I have really big goals about what I'll be able to accomplish in my parenting in the summer. And again, when you hear my goals this summer, you'll be like, wow, she's going to accomplish all that. No, I'm not going to accomplish all that. This is what's on my list. I'll throw a couple of these things out there and whatever they bite on, that's what we're going to accomplish. It's kind of like fishing. Here are all the different lures I have. Here's all my different bait. I'm going to cast it out there and see if I can catch myself a couple of teenagers. So I have a couple of big goals that I want to accomplish with my kids this summer. And one is teaching them to drive. I know, you should start praying for me now. So Joey is 17 and a half and he already has his temps, but he has not started driving. And Abby is going to be 16 in July and she is dying to be driving. And I was going to hold her off until 17. Like I had Joey wait until he was 17 to get his temps. But I really think that she is ready to start the driving process. She knows this does not mean that she necessarily gets to get her driver's license. Here in Ohio, we need to do 50 hours of each child driving with their parent plus driving classes. There are in-classroom driving classes and then there are on-the-road driving classes. And so my thought is, and I could be wrong, but my thought is that the majority of this summer, I'm going to be teaching kids to drive, but they will not actually get their driver's licenses until next summer. Joey might get his earlier, but Abby won't get hers until next summer. Learning to drive is a huge process. I don't remember it being such a huge process for me. I do remember wanting to drive desperately. I remember driving up and down my parents' driveway all the time. Like I would say to my mom, can I go drive? And she's like, okay. But I wasn't allowed to drive outside of our driveway. And we had just had installed like a little turnaround in the front of our driveway. I could check with my mom, but I don't think I'm exaggerating here. I would literally get in the car and drive to the top of the driveway and the bottom of the driveway for like an hour. Every day, every time she said, yes, I could go drive, I would just do that. Maneuverability in the driveway. Like I wanted to drive so desperately. So I know where Abby is coming from. So teaching my kids to drive is going to be a gigantic time, emotional, and financial investment this summer. That is top on our list. Next, and I've mentioned this in a previous podcast, I really want the kids to become in charge of their own food. Again, my kids are going to be 16 and 17. That's the age of my kids. Greg has this great desire that we will have this family dinner. So what I would like to do is get the kids to agree on one night a week where we do have this family dinner where we all eat together as a family, whatever dad wants to make. And then they also get in the habit of putting things on the grocery list that they want to eat because everybody's food preferences are different and I'm on a diet, I'm not on a diet, I'm whatever. tell us what you want. And then I told Abby the other day, I said, you know what? You can do our grocery shopping this summer. She's like, I can. She's so excited. Ah, and I'm so excited. And Greg's so excited. We're all so excited. So she gets to pick which grocery store she wants. There are three different ones that we use. She can pick the one she wants. She has to keep the same one all summer. And then she's going to get the list and the amount of money. And she is going to do the grocery shopping and put it all away. I am so excited. And then along those lines with the food management and the grocery shopping is the Google Calendar. So this year I set up Google Calendars for both of my kids and my husband and myself. I already had one. But you can interlock Google Calendars, which is something that Betsy shares at the end of the ADHD book that I just wrote, how ADHD affects home organization. Betsy Fuller put in the back of that book an addendum, which is quite a significant addendum. It's like a quarter of the book. All of the apps and resources that help you get organized if you struggle with ADHD. And one of the things she mentions is using a Google Calendar. And I'm telling you, a Google Calendar is life-changing when you have young, pre-adult, adult children. Because if you use a paper planner, that's awesome. You could see your week. You know where everything is. You could keep track of kids. Through middle school, you could probably use a paper calendar and not an online calendar and be successful. In my opinion, once your kids get to the point where they have a smartphone, they need to have a Google Calendar that syncs to your calendar. Because in my mind, if you have a smartphone, let's use the smartness of it. Like, let's track where you are and let's sync your calendar with mom and dad's calendar. I have noticed this a lot as Joey has gotten his first job, and I know Abby's going to get her first job this summer too, because she's very driven and she wants to get that. Like, the day she turns 16, she is applying to the places that wouldn't take her at 15. She's so frustrated she can't get a job. And that's all well and good, but they don't drive yet. So guess who's driving them to work in addition to driving to the school and everywhere else they need to go? And this is why you need a Google Calendar. So that Greg and I know when they're working, and we can then talk about who's driving them where, and his mom, thank goodness, drives them on occasion as well, so they can look at their calendar and know if Nana's coming to pick them up instead of Greg or I. And I think that this next year or two, the synced Google Calendars are going to be a mainstay in our family. But up until this point, because I created the Google Calendars during the school year, I have been putting everything on them. And now lately, you know, the kids are like, can I do this? Can I do that? I'm like, put it on the Google Calendar. And they're not. So then I'm going in and I'm putting it on the Google Calendar so that I remember that I need to take them somewhere, pick them up, or where are they when I don't remember where they are. But this summer, they need to be responsible for putting their own things on their Google Calendar. And then I have it automatically synced so that Greg and I can see everything that is on their calendar and know where our kids are. This knowing where your kids are thing is a real deal when they're in high school trying to figure out where you have kids and how you're getting them back and when they're coming back. So I told you that I do the majority of my parenting in the summer. And the reason why, in the last few years especially, is because, and I just had this conversation with another mom the other day, school is very stressful for kids, especially nowadays. Junior high, high school, there are a lot of expectations on our kids academically, socially, with social media, just everything. They have a lot of stress and pressure and anxiety. More than I remember having. Maybe I had it, but I don't remember this much pressure on teenagers as when I was a teenager. And so during the school year, if I set the expectation that now you're going to learn a Google Calendar, not that they have to learn it, but you're going to need to put everything on it, like that could be the straw that breaks the camel's back, literally. Or we're going to teach you to do laundry in the middle of November. I don't think so. Like, they just don't have the bandwidth for these extra things. But in the summer, oh yeah, we're in the school of mom now. We're going to learn anything I could think of that it would help them in the next school year. I try to proactively teach them, incentivize them, and have them incorporate into their daily routine. So if at the end of the summer, the only thing that they really incorporated into their daily routine is putting what they're doing on their Google Calendar, this is going to be a successful summer for me. Because next year, the number one thing that I need to know is where my kids are and who's getting them and how we're getting them back. I'm going to have a sophomore and a senior. And I think the senior year is going to have a lot of extra activities in it that I don't even really know about yet and need to be on my Google Calendar. So the Google Calendar is my number one objective. Number two is starting the driving process. I do not have the expectation that my kids will have a driver's license by the end of the summer and they'll drive themselves to school next year. But I do think that in the next 12 months, both of the kids will get their licenses. And that is a process. And that takes time. And this is the best time of year to teach my kids to drive. There's no snow. There's not as much traffic. They don't have as much stress and anxiety. It's just a great time of year to teach my kids to drive. And then if Abby can get a job, ooh, baby, this is going to be awesome if they both have jobs. Because you know what that means? They're not asking me for money all the time. So this would be great for me. So that is my June monthly update. That's what we're doing here at the Woodruff household. That is what I would do if my kids were younger. And if you've been listening to this entire podcast and you either don't have children or your children are grown and gone, then to you, I say, go to the bookstore and buy yourself some books and get your favorite beverage. And every night I want you reading for an hour or two out on your patio or wherever your favorite place to read is. Enjoy the summer. Take some time for you and really just soak it all up and enjoy this fun, magical summer time of year. I am so excited to announce that How ADHD Affects Home Organization, the book, is now available on Amazon. It's available as a Kindle ebook, as a printed book, and as an Audible download. All three are available through the Amazon platform. That's How ADHD Affects Home Organization, Understanding the Role of the Eight Key Executive Functions of the Mind. I can't wait to hear what you think.